So if I haven't introduced myself to you, let me do that. I'm Pastor Drew. What a privilege. Yeah, I can speak. No, really, I can. That was privilege and pleasure. I was got mixed up which one to say. But it is my honor. Here, how about that one? That you're here today, and it really means a lot to Tamara and I. Tamara's my lovely wife, and we just are just thankful that God is growing our church. Amen. Look at how Phil's second service is. Amen. Praise God. And if you're here for the first time, welcome. I'll say it again. Just welcome, and we trust that you have been greeted already and felt the love of God. And but the most important thing about our church is what you've experienced already, the praise and the worship, and then the preaching of the Word of God. That means more than anything else, because here's the truth. The Word of God is the only thing that's going to fix you. I said the Word of God is the only thing that is going to fix you. You know what? So, how many recognize we're in a battle? Come on, maybe over here. How many recognize you're in a battle? And how many recognize the battle is being raged like never before? Do you sense the intensity? Man, I tell you what, it's getting crazy. And here's what I said. I said this Wednesday, but I'm going to say this, you know what, again, prophetically. Something is going to pop. Write this down. This is prophetic. Something is going to pop. Oh, let me see my 3 for 3 club. Come on, let me see 3 for 3ers. Come on, let me see 3 for 3 years. Okay, what is 3 for 3 club? That means you have your pen, you have your notepad, and you have your Bible. If you don't have a prayer journal, get a prayer journal today. They're only $10. You know what? Just because it's Resurrection Sunday, we'll sell you 2 for $20 today. That's right, only today, 2 for $20. You know what? Some of you will get that on the way home. Like 2 for $20? Huh? Okay. But you know what? I want you to have a prayer journal. I want you to be journaling every day, just asking God, God, what are you saying to me? He'll speak to you. Amen. You know what? But write it down. And then also in part of your prayer journal, we have in the back, we have a 3 for 3 portion where you can write down, you know what, the notes. So we encourage, why? Because you remember more of what you write down. Listen, we ain't playing here at church at Hope. You know what? This is a training center. I talked to somebody in the first service, and I appreciate him. He came up to me and he said, Pastor Drew, I'm really learning some stuff. I'm like, praise God, that's a good thing. Amen. And we have so many people, and their lives are being changed. Why? Because, you know what? They're going from faith to glory to glory. Here a little, there a little. You know what I mean? And you might not all get it today, but I guarantee you, you're going to get it. You're going to get enough today that is going to help you this week. Amen. You're going to get enough today going to help you this week. Amen. But we've been talking about the goodness of God. And then last week, we started talking about the goodness of God, like manifest in your life. How many know God is good? Yes. But here's the reality. Some people walk in more goodness of God than other people. Oh, that's not fair. No, God's not a respecter of persons. But he does say this, don't be deceived. God won't be mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. You know, so many people, it's like, hey, you know what? You know, they break up with one boyfriend. Then they break up with another 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 boyfriend. And they're like, man, all these guys I'm dating, they got issues. Amen. How many know we got issues? All of us have issues. You know what? But we got to get over our issues. Come on. How many ready to get over some of your issues? How many ready to stop stumbling on the same thing you stumbled on 38 times? Paul said it like this. When I was a child, I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. There's a time that we need to grow up in the things of God. And I don't care if it's your first time here. I don't care if you just got born again last week. I thank God for that. But let me tell you what. We just need to make sure every week we are washing our brains with the Word of God. Yeah. And we want corporate encounters to become personal encounters, daily encounters. You know what I mean? I mean, you're going to get a good meal today, but I ain't coming over to your house tomorrow feeding you. Amen. Man, you can crack your own Bible open, and God can speak a word to you that'll change your life forever. We want you to get used to it. It's like, oh, I love Sunday and Wednesday. Hey, well, that can be every day in your life. But what I'm teaching you, what I want to teach you today, what I want to talk about today is how this goodness of God, God's goodness, can become your goodness, where you can start walking in greater manifestations. Now, it's not going to take me long to preach this, so we got to be together, all right? You got to run as fast as I run, okay? And you can't start, you know what I mean? Don't worry about the turkey. Turkey. Did he just call us turkey? Yeah, if you're thinking about just just focus on what God is going to speak to you today. Amen. I want to talk to you today about the power of believing in God. The power of believing in God. There's a story in the New Testament, and it's a story of this man, and his daughter's 12 years old. His daughter is so sick, she's about to die. And he goes to Jesus. He goes to Jesus, and he asks Jesus, and he says, Jesus, here's what he says. All you have to do is lay your hands on her, and she'll be healed. Man, how many know God loves it when we put our trust in him? He loves it. He loves it. And so he says, great. And he starts to go over to this guy's house. When he goes over to this house, right in the middle of him walking to his house, the woman with the issue of blood, if you don't know this story, there's this woman, she'd been sick for 12 years. She has this thought, all I'm going to do is touch the hem of his garment, and she's going, and I'm going to be healed. Amen. How many know God loves when we put our trust in him? And sure enough, man, she gets healed, but that delayed the whole process of Jesus going to his house. So in this delay, the servants from his house come to Jesus and they say, you know what? Hey, they come to this man and they say, hey, don't bother Jesus anymore. Your daughter has died. And you don't need to bother her anymore. How many can imagine hearing that news and how devastating that news can be? This is his 12-year-old daughter. And think about it for a minute, because he goes from having hope. Jesus is coming to his house. Remember the ladies when Jesus is going to Lazarus' house? And it seems to me, at least reading it, that there was some kind of a bit of irritation because they said, Jesus, if you would have just come sooner, he wouldn't have died. That's right. And yet, can I tell you the truth? With God, all things are possible. So this guy gets stopped and he's like, you know what? Don't bother him anymore. Mark chapter 5, we have it up here on the screens, starting with verse 4. And he said to her, daughter, no. Give me a second. Oh, yeah, there we are. 35. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the words that were spoken. Let's stop right there. As soon as Jesus heard the words that were spoken, the word that was spoken, what was spoken? Don't bother, she's dead. What was spoken? Helplessness. And look what it says after. Look what he says after. Or here's what I wanted you to catch. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, Can we read that together? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken. Everybody, read it with me. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken. As soon. Somebody say as soon. See, here is the issue. Here is the issue. Here is the battle. The battle is, what are you going to pick? Are you going to pick hopelessness or hope? Because in the world, there are hundreds of opportunities for you to pick hopelessness. And you got people. How many know so many people are half, you know, glass half empty people anyway? And they're coming to you, you know, that'll never work. This will never happen. All this, you know what? You got to listen to your doctor. You know, yada, 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 yada. Yeah. One time, my wife had an x-ray or something, and it didn't look good. And you know what? And the Holy Spirit spoke to her, and he said this. You pay attention because it's critical when you hear the word spoken, that you react properly. The Bible says in Isaiah, it says that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And we know that scripture and we love that scripture and that part. But then after it says that part, it says, but you know, the heritage of God's people is that they speak back to those negative, ungodly. Listen, these are words of doubt and unbelief. They're words of death. They're words of, and you can say, yeah, but that's the truth. That was what really happened. Well, with God, all things are possible. And you know what the Bible also says? And Jesus said this himself. He said, all things are possible for those who believe. See, what I want to teach today, and it's not going to take me long, is we've got to believe in God. Ooh, that's a good message for a pastor to preach, isn't it? We got to believe in God. God is real. His word is true. You know what? We got to believe in God. And I come to this passage first because to me, it's such a great passage to talk about this from, because you know what? See, so many of us are at a precipice in our life. We're at a fork in the road in our life. The Bible says it like this in the Old Testament. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And you'd be like, who in the world, Pastor George, who in the world would pick death over life? Who would pick a curse over a blessing? But pay attention. Everybody pay attention to this. Here's why you pick death over life. Because, you know what? Life seems unbelievable. You know, 25 times, just in the book of John, 25 times, Jesus says this. King James says it like this, verily I say unto you. You know what that means? The other version says, I'm telling you the truth. Another version says, you know what? Assuredly I say unto you. There are so many times in the Word of God that Jesus is about to tell you something illogical to your mind, unthinkable to reason, that it doesn't make any sense. But God is still speaking that to you. See, Romans says it like this, let God be true and every man a liar. See, this man, here, watch this, because we don't connect the dots. You know what in this story, the people who come, when Jesus takes these three, or when Jesus starts to walk, so the guys come up and say, don't bother the master anymore. And Jesus just doesn't start walking. He looks at this guy. I believe we'll look at the video when we get to heaven. But I believe he got right in his face and he said, you know what? Hey, focus. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Amen. But then you know what he did? He said, Peter, you know what, James, John, you're coming with me. Everybody else, I don't know, go to 7-Eleven, get a Slurpee, do what you want, but you ain't coming with us. Amen? Read it. It's what he did. And then when he gets to the house, everybody's like, oh, and listen, and we understand. Guys, don't get upset with the unsaved, with the unbelievers acting like unbelievers. They don't know. That's not the problem. The problem is when you start thinking like an unbeliever. The problem with it is instead of you pulling them up, they're going to pull you down. And it can happen to any of us. Circumstances are loud in our lives. Family members can be loud in our lives. You know what? Past history is loud in our life. And we failed and we failed and we failed and we failed. And you know what? But God speaks to you. God speaks to us today. Maybe you're watching at home. God's speaking to you. And he's saying, listen, let me tell you who's blessed. Blessed is the man who keeps on getting back up. That man is blessed. Amen. I mean, shake it off and just say, you know what? I'm writing a song. It's called Shake It Off. Amen. My son told me, hey, I don't even know, some famous person. You know what? They already wrote that song. Did some famous people, who was that? Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift don't know. I wrote that before she wrote it. Amen. And how many know my shake it off is going to be different than her shake it off? Come on. Hallelujah. We got to shake off the unbelief. We got to shake off the doubt. We got to shake off the fear. We've got to do what Jesus did and be very focused. Here's what the Bible says. He says, you know what? Meditate on the word day and night that you might observe everything that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. You listen, you're not going to have a good life. You're not going to experience the goodness of God if you keep on listening to the naysayers. If you keep on, you know what? Bebopping, boop bop, bebop, feet bop. You know what? Bust a groove. You know what? All this negativity on the radio. You know what? Oh, aren't we cool? Ugh. Turn it off, amen. Turn it off. And recognize you're at a place in your life where you better choose life because you can choose death too. And you're not going to choose death and think, ooh, I'll tell you what, I'm going to choose death today. You know what? You're not going to be thinking that. It's going to seem reasonable. It would have seemed reasonable for this man to go home and start making plans to bury his dead 12-year-old. That would seem reasonable. When Jesus went over there, they said, you know what, Jesus? The King James says it like this. They mocked him to scorn. He said, what do you think they're going to think about you? Praise God. If you're not coming next week, come next week. You know what? My daughter Shayla's going to preach next week. It's going to be off the hook. Amen. I'm serious. You better come. Amen. Actually, okay. All right. Let's do a rerun. Come next week. Because I'm going to start preaching. I'm going to preach next week. I'm going to teach you. No, serious. This serious. I'm going to teach you the power, you know what, of binding and the power of loosing. And people mock this. You know, crazy Christians mock it. They mock speaking in tongues. Here's a thought. Here's a thought. Paul prayed that all the Corinthians in the church would pray in tongues. All of them. And then he said, but especially that you prophesy. Amen. And then we mock that. We mock the things of God. Listen, I don't mind if the world mocks the things of God. But Christians, we better not mock the things of God. To us, unreasonable is reasonable. If God's the one telling us this. It seems like foolishness to them. The gospel seems foolish. How in the world, the great exchange, how can Jesus Christ go to the cross and take all my sin? I don't get it. You don't have to get it. You just have to believe it by faith.
No, I'm factual.
I'm factual. You are not factual. You're delusional. Amen. You walk by faith all the time. You want, watch, Pastor George. I'll prove it. You ready? How many have a job? Raise your hand if you have a job. Real high. Raise your hand if you have a job. Okay. Put your hands down. How many of you get paid before your work week starts? How many get paid on Monday? Not of the last week. You get paid in advance, you know what, by your job. Oh, no hands? How many get paid after? Raise your hand if you get paid after. See, you're working the whole week by faith. Amen? By faith. See, they mock us. How many ever, you know what, go to the doctor, you know, and he looks in and says, oh, man, look at this right here. See this? He puts the x-ray up. And he says, see that right there? And you're like, yeah, I see it. But in your head, you're thinking, I don't see Jack Diddley. What are you talking about? It all looks all fuzzy to me. Come on. Then he gets out some piece of pad, you know what, and scribbles something on there and gives it to you. You know, this is a true story. You can look it up on the internet. There was some guy, you know what, he went to Walmart or Kmart or somewhere, you know, Goodwill, and got one of these lab coats or something. He went into the hospital, you know what, and he was, you know, Dr. Smith, and Dr. Smith started, and he was there for like 4 months. You laugh. How do you know that prescription didn't come from Dr. Smith that you took? See, you don't know. You don't check this out. What are you doing? You're by faith, man. He gives you something, and then watch this. You have no idea where he went to school. None of any of that. And then you take it to the pharmacy. And who do you give it to? Give it to the pharmacist. Which you don't know him from Diddly Squad either. See, Christians ought to start acting like Christians. You say, Pastor, this is not a very Easter message. Oh, uno momento, por favor. Uno momento, por favor. Turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. You're already in Mark. Just flip on over to the right a little bit. Mark chapter 16. And look at verse 1. Look at verse 1. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, brought spices and they might anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said amongst themselves, who will roll away the stone for the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed with a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be afraid. Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? Go tell the disciples and Peter, and he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, as he said to you. Jesus had said to them over and over and over again that, you know what, that he was going to, in different, all kinds of different ways, said to them over and over and over again, talked to them about being dead for 3 days, and on the third day he would rise. Can I tell you what? Jesus expects his people to believe him. 25 times in John. 25, that's just in John. He says, verily I say unto you. He's about to say stuff that seems unbelievable, but it's time that the body of Christ start believing what God said to them. Amen. Amen. Verse 9. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. She went to them and told them. Verse 11. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her. One of the most amazing things in the Bible. They did not believe. Wow. Did you know that was in the resurrection story? Do you think, here's a deep thought. Here's what I want you to think. Do you think believers should believe? Do you think believers should believe what Jesus says? Do you think believers should believe what Jesus says, especially when he says, before he says it, hey guys, I'm telling you the truth. Guys, welcome to Christianity. Welcome to a whole new world. Guys, it's a whole new world. Jesus is talking to the woman at the tomb, at the well, and he's talking about these rivers of life. And she doesn't understand. They're talking. It's like they're talking. He's saying, lady, I'm going to change your life forever. If you read it, it's like they're talking two different languages, but they're not. She doesn't understand what he's saying. And he won't change what he's saying. So then I'm going to preach this someday. You know what? A little bit today, but I'm going to preach the whole thing. But then you know what he does? He steps into the prophetic. Man, I want everyone to speak in tongues, but especially that you would prophesy. He steps into the prophetic. And when he steps into the prophetic, he says, let me tell you, lady, you know what? You've been with one man after another man after another man after another man after another man. And the man that you're sleeping with, he ain't even your husband. Amen. And all of a sudden she recognizes. Can I tell you, church? We ought to be the first to recognize that God can't lie. We ought to be the first to recognize. We ought to be the first to say, I don't care if you call me crazy. I don't care if you call me nuts. I don't care if you think I'm nuts. I don't care. Listen, you ain't talking me out of it, Buster Brown. By his stripes, I were healed. If I were, I am. And that's all there is to it, Buster Brown. Love never fails. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to keep on loving my spouse. I don't do it perfectly, but I ain't giving up on my marriage. Christians ought to believe that. Christians ought to be the first. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what God said. Love never fails. I love the clarity in the Word of God. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the fat of the land. Amen. He who sows sparingly reaps sparingly. Here, we ought to believe that. Amen. you know what? I don't ever do nothing for the body of Christ. I don't ever give nothing for the body of Christ. I never serve in the body of Christ. But I'm what are you? I'm blessed and highly favored. Oh my goodness, you're crazy, lady. Sit down. Amen. Man, can we here? If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. That is not a bad scripture. But it does speak to some of us. Spoke to me, you know what? Years ago when I was in my 20s, and I spent every penny on me. Pastor, you should not talk about giving during a, you know what, Easter message. Why not? Why not? No, really, why not? Because if you look at it properly, if a farmer sows no seed, what's he going to get? He's going to get no harvest, amen? This is God's commandments, whatever the commandments, they're not burdensome, they're a blessing. And when they heard that he was alive, and when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. How many know sometimes we can be stubborn? Look at the next verse. After that, he appeared to another to two of them as they were walking and went into the country. So first he deals with Mary, then he deals with these other two, watch this, and they went and told the rest. But they did not believe them either. After he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and their hardness of heart. You know what unbelief is? It's an indication of your hardness in your heart. You know, I didn't do this, but I was thinking about the nails and the thorn, the crown of thorns, the nails in his feet, the scourging on his back, the just beating, the nakedness, and I thought, what hurt Jesus the most? I'm fully convinced that this hurt Jesus the most. God just wants us to believe. You know what's the most important part of the shield? The armor of God? You know what's the most important part is? Above all, taking the shield of faith. I never got that. I'm like, hey, what about the belt of truth? That should be above all. No, to God, the most important part is your putting your trust in him. See, I've started to see this so clearly. All the pieces are important, but the most important thing is your relationship with him. That's the shield of faith. Faith is just trusting in God. That is above all, because that's what matters to him more than anything else. You matter to him more than anything else. How many is God speaking to you today? I said, how many is God speaking to you today? What's he saying to you? We don't have time for you to answer it, but you answer it in your heart. Keep up your hands. Father, you see the hands that are up? I pray that this, that we repent for all the times of, and we would never call it mocking you, but we are mocking you. when we don't just put our full trust in you. Help us, God. Thank you for this message. Somebody thank God for this message today. Father, thank you for this message today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen, amen.